Hello and welcome back to the Couple's Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Shan.
And believe it or not, I'm Tom.
Oh my god, you know your name!
I can't think of anything funny, so for once in my life there's that little bit of cognitive ability to remember my name.
Fair play. Well, we are just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
And because the last episode was an absolute train wreck, we're going to continue discussing Dig Dug, Chapter 5?
Yes, Chapter 5, Part 2.
Here we go.
Let's get our shovels and dig in.
Again.
So before we continue with the actual rewatch of Dig Dug, I thought it would be quite good because we did mention it in part one very briefly about the chapter names that are potentially been spoiled. We don't know, you know, they could be completely fake.
Yeah, because I'm sure, I can't remember what they were, but I remember there were some episode names leaked for season 3.
Yeah.
And I think some of them were correct, but I'm sure some of them were either completely off or slightly changed.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They but could change them last second.
Exactly. But it's like an interesting talking point, though, isn't it?
Because it is.
It gives you, like we've said before, instead of direct spoilers, like actual material from the show,
yeah,
it just gives you things to
theorise.
I can't say it.
Theorise. There you go, that's it.
Theorise about.
Yes, that's the one. And yeah, like we were just saying before starting this recording, I love this stage of filming this show because you're getting the pictures of the sets and the actors, and some official, some obviously taken by the Paps. And it does just get you thinking, what on earth is going on? And you can theorise so many things. Your imagination goes wild. But as well as that, they can also give you fake material as well.
They can.
Like, the scene that comes to mind when I think of fake material taken by paparazzi is season 3, when Elle is in Billy's mind and they're on the beach seeing his mother.
Oh, yeah.
It obviously, yes, it goes like a upside down red cloudy, but there's a picture of filming where Elle or Millie is screaming.
I remember that so clearly.
I remember
it's
that.
It's in my mind right now.
She never screams in the in the actual scene, though.
No.
There, so yeah, there we are all thinking, why is she on a beach? What's happening? Why is she there and nobody else? Why is she screaming?
Yeah, I remember it being such a big talking point.
It really was, and then it just turns out it's all in their minds and she never actually screams at all.
And that's the thing, they know what they're doing.
They do.
Anything they want kept completely under wraps, they'll do inside their studios.
Yeah, exactly, which makes me worry about the Malevan chat on top of that roof thing.
Yeah, but maybe there are things that they will happily release because they want people to get excited.
Yeah.
And they definitely want people to get excited about this final season. You know, they've already done like a little bit of a behind the scenes and they've probably been more open than they ever have before about things that are going on. Usually they release afterwards. But I'm liking that if they are, you know, content that we are going to get or not, it is, in a way, spoiler-free. It just gives you these little theories to think about and get excited about.
Yeah, and exactly like you say, they usually keep everything under wraps. Oh, let's not talk about season 3. Mm. But they usually keep everything under wraps until it's out.
Like, yeah.
They were so against giving out bloopers and stuff behind the scenes because they, I'm pretty sure in their own words, they didn't want to ruin the magic. Until eventually they did. And now this time around, yeah, we've got a little behind the scenes before the show's even halfway through. Well, no, it was for its anniversary.
Yeah.
Halfway through filming, so.
That's it, and it's just exciting, and it's a really good talking point. So, go on, give us the chapter names that had potentially been leaked.
So, we've got the first 6 episodes.
Okay.
And if this is at all correct, they are episode one, The Crawl, directed by the Duffer Brothers.
Okay.
Episode two, which is everyone's talking point, The Vanishing of Beep Wheeler.
Yeah.
Directed by Frank Darabont. Mm-hmm. And then we've got episode three, The Turbo Trap, directed by Frank again. I'm not going to say his surname just in case I'm getting it wrong. Episode four, Sorcerer.
Which immediately makes you think of Will.
Yes, it does. Episode five is Shock Jock, which just makes me think of Dustin in the graveyard with the jocks.
Right.
And then episode six, Escape from Kamazots, I think. Kamazots. I've never tried saying that. I've read it many times, but I've never said it out loud.
Is that something out of, like, D&D or something?
Oh, people have been talking about what it is, but I'd have to look it up because I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, well, so it's quite exciting if they are, you know, the real names. Like you said, the one that I think most are talking about is The Vanishing of Blank Wheeler.
Yes.
Which the names that could fit in there is, like you've said before, Holly, Nancy and Karen. And I think so many people, including us really, are assuming that that is Holly because she seems to have stepped up in her role this season.
Yes.
You know, we've got a brand new actress who is known in the horror movie scene as being very good. And we've seen her in shots. We've seen her with on a bike with Mike and Noah. Sorry, that's weird to say Mike and Noah. Mike and Will.
Yeah.
And we've seen in the behind the scenes that they released of her having like lights going off in her bedroom and seeing something in the kitchen. And we've also seen, which we're not sure if this is real footage or, like you say, if they've planted it, but there's like footage of her getting like something out of a letterbox and talking to an old man who just happens to be Jamie's character of Vecna slash Henry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's it. We don't know if they're genuinely filming or if they're just near each other.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
So, like, all signs point to it being about Holly. But at the same time, there's this small inclination in me to wonder if they're throwing us, like, a curveball and it's actually someone like Karen.
Yeah.
Because unless there's been quite a big time jump, which there might have been, because we know that there's multiple time jumps, and we know by Elle's hair that it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I'm just amazed that considering everything that has happened, that Karen would be allowing Holly to go out and to be going God knows where with Will and Mike. And yes, she could have snuck out, but it's very much the middle of the day. From the pictures, it wasn't happening at night.
No.
And I don't know, I just feel like Karen would have Holly under her thumb because she'd be so frightened with everything that's happened.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, depending on what the time skip is, like, how old is Holly supposed to be now?
That's a hard question off the top of my head. I have a feeling she's born in 1971 or 1970.
She can't be 71 because that's when the party are.
Oh, sorry, that's why I'm thinking that then. I'm not sure.
No, I can't remember.
Depending on the jump, she could be very similar to what they were in season one.
That's my point, is I feel as if Mike and Nancy would also be very protective of her.
Yeah.
And then she could just up and say, well, you guys were this age when it all started. So what's the difference of being joining in now? And then,
I suppose.
Yeah, what argument have they got then? But except for, you're my little sister, it's different.
Yeah. And I feel like Mike would be more inclined to let her join in with whatever's happening if it is something like, our mother has gone missing, so now we need to work together, or we need to keep you close to keep you safe.
Yeah, I could imagine it as a we need to keep you safe sort of thing. But as well as that, yeah, I don't know, I feel as if Mike would be protective over her.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, he's kind of an all-hands-on-deck person as well.
Yeah.
So I could see that going either way.
Mm.
Before I forget, anyway, the Camazotz word apparently translates to death bat. In some sort of language that I'm going to say completely wrong, but I'm guessing it ties into D&D. So take from that what you will.
The bat is often associated with night, death, and sacrifice. Mm. Mm. And that's the third to the end episode.
That is, yeah, episode 6 out of 8. We don't have names for 7 and 8 yet.
What was the whole name of that one again? The
Escape from Camazotz.
Oh, God, that gives me so many, like, thoughts rushing through my head. The first thing that did come into my head is thinking that it might be about Eddie.
Yeah, could be. Or,
because he was killed by bats.
He was indeed. He's very much bat food now.
Don't say that. I think the majority of the fandom will be coming after you with pitchforks for even just saying that.
Well, just the facts. But what I can sort of picture is that it's just a load of bats swarming up out of the gate as well. So like, I don't know if it would be his first wave of attack in episode 6. That's a bit late. But I could imagine it being a wave of bats being sent out by Henry.
Yeah.
As a, right, I'm going to start destroying everything properly.
And I suppose it wouldn't have to be his first kind of wave of attack, because his way of doing it is usually through the mind, at least to begin with.
Yeah.
He could have been doing that for chapter upon chapter. Although, I'm sure there's going to be more to it, because this sounds weird to say it would be boring if he attacked in the same way as he did in season 4. But do you know what I mean? It needs almost build on that, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's it. And I 100% think he's not going to rest a second, and I hope neither of the party.
I really hope so.
Because
I hope they've been gaining strength as well, because he certainly will have been.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Yeah, he got lit on fire and shot at a few hundred times, but
yeah,
he got away. He's going to be healing. He's going to be getting himself ready to, like I say, start wrecking stuff.
Yeah, he's probably at his most dangerous now.
Yeah, exactly, because he's been found in person.
Yes.
And that's like for the first time since El sent him yeeting down to another universe.
And he did get injured, which I think must have been a bit of a stark reminder to him that he's not invincible.
No, exactly. He is. Doesn't bloody look it, but he is just human.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He was damaged by El, but he was also damaged by Nancy. So it's like, where is his focus going?
Exactly.
And we've also got wherever Max is.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it, yeah. With Val, obviously, no physical damage, but it's all in the head.
Yeah.
But he's still been defeated.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, in terms of his physical body, fire plus bullets.
Yeah.
He can't be that good. I don't think those vines are going to be like body armour.
No.
So.
But yeah, that word, I can't say. The bat one.
Camazotz. If I'm saying that correct.
Yeah, we might be saying it wrong. The other thing that made my tummy kind of turn was just the idea that that means something to do with a sacrifice as well. I'm like, ooh.
Well, I don't know if it would be. With it being called Escape From.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be anything about sacrifice unless.
I'm just seeing in my head anyone that's seen. I suppose it did happen in Avengers Endgame, but that's not when, Endgame is when Natasha died from it. I was just thinking of the place, the Soul Stone.
Yeah. Oh, that kind of sacrifice there.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that it just made me think, if Camazotz was a place, that could be trying to break Max out of wherever she is.
Yeah.
That's another thing that just came to my mind. I don't know.
We need to know more about D&D, because I feel like if we know more about D&D, then you probably will know what's going to happen in a way.
Yeah.
So much is based off it. So many characters, villains are based off it that it would be, I need to know more about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to start playing it more often.
Yeah, we have played it a couple of times, haven't we? Only very, kind of basic
very,
level.
Very, very basic, and all on the various online platforms that are available.
Yeah, but it was fun, to be fair.
It was.
It was always a laugh. But yeah, I just thought it was important to potentially bring up those chapters because
absolutely, yeah.
It is a talking point, and again, it gets our brains whirling
with
what we may have to come.
Exactly, it really does. I feel like I should mention the episode one named The Crawl. That's the only one we know officially, because that was shown by the Duffers at one point, quite early on. They revealed that before they started doing the whole little behind-the-scenes posts from Ross. That was one of the first ones he did.
What do you think of when you hear crawl? Because for me, I'm imagining an army crawl through tunnels.
I could imagine that, yeah. That's actually a very good point. Maybe it's something to do with the tunnels.
Yeah.
Because we know they're coming back. We've seen that in the behind the scenes.
We have, haven't we? Yeah.
So it could be something to do with those. Or when I think of crawling, I picture demo dogs.
Do you?
I do indeed. Picture demo dogs, because if you think about it, they are Demogorgons crawling before they grow up.
I mean, I'm sure they're all going to come back.
Oh, I'm sure.
No doubt.
It's a finale season. They've got to feature everything they've had.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have Demogorgon, maybe plural. We're going to have demo dogs. We're going to have bats. Are we going to have the Mind Flayer? Maybe. And we've obviously got Vecna himself.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? You know, he's in a big world. There's probably other things.
This is the thing. And I'm just trying to find the name of what it's on. But there's a Netflix event coming up soon. And they've hinted that there's going to be some sort of Stranger Things.
It's not to Doom, is it?
I don't feel like it is to Doom. I was just trying to find the next... Oh, sorry, people. That was my phone.
You and your volume being up. We're so professional. I'm not cutting that out.
To be fair, it's all in the name of the podcast. I'm just trying to see if I could find the name of the event. I'm sure most people are screaming it at me. It might be to Doom. I don't think it is.
That's the only one I can think of. It's not San Diego Comic Con or anything.
No,
they weren't there.
I want to say Geek something.
Oh.
Netflix Geeked, is it?
Ah, that rings a bell.
Geeked Week. September 16th to the 19th. It might be this. I'm just trying to see the actual advert for it, because in the actual advert for it, it shows you like a small section of Stranger Things, not like any new content, but the fact that hinting that something is going to be mentioned.
Yeah. Okay.
Annoyingly, yeah, I can't find the actual thing for it, but it might be to do with that. But yeah, so potentially we might get possibly. I don't know what we'd get at this point. Would we get a date? I don't think we've ever had a date this far in advance, so I don't think we'd get a date.
I don't think so, because that's it. We are only halfway through filming.
Yeah.
So that's another... We'll go back a few episodes if you want to know exactly when. I think we said... I think we said around your birthday, wasn't it?
January the 5th.
January the finish-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they started on your birthday, didn't they? Yes.
Well, we think they did, yeah. It was either January the 4th or January the 5th, depending on
time
zones.
I feel like I said last time, I feel like I remember making a specific mention of it because it was like a birthday present.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm sure something is definitely coming up where they're going to mention Stranger Things in some sort of capacity. And what that is, I don't know. But maybe
they might officially reveal the episode names again, because they did that with season 3, I think.
Yeah, possibly.
or was it season four? Might have been four.
That I think
they,
four.
Yeah, where that's it. One of the teasers was the official episode names revealed.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's four.
Although, I'm pretty sure they then changed one of the episode names after that.
I think they did, yeah.
I can't remember which one it was, but I feel like it was episode four, but I don't remember the names of them.
Yeah.
Don't ask.
I suppose that's the beauty in the way they write it, you know. They're still going, aren't they?
Exactly, and that's it. They can literally... they can take up until the last second before whoever it is behind the scenes hits that publish button on the season. They can change the episode names right at that point. So, who knows?
But I think that'll end our little chapter name talk. But I think it's certainly worthy to bring up.
I think so. I do indeed. The last thing, I don't know if you've got anything else planned before the rewatch segment now, but news segment. The only thing I can think of at the moment is first Shadow related, and it's that they've announced that the Broadway show will be starting in March next year.
I mean, you all know our thoughts on this.
Absolutely.
We've pretty much spoilt the whole thing, which we apologise for.
Yeah.
But
and
I promise
you. At least I've warned you every time.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? They don't know when to tune back in or anything. But honestly, even if we had or have spoilt the whole thing for you, if you have the finances and or the ability to be able to go, you've got to go, because I promise you, you won't see anything like it. It's
honestly
amazing.
That's it. Yes, we may have like spoken about huge plot points, but that's just some rambling old man talking about it.
And it won't take away from the theatrics
production. Exactly, you need to see it.
And to be fair, yes, we've spoken about it, but there's also a lot of the story we haven't spoken about.
No, it's what is it? It's an hour and a half, isn't it? I think it was.
Maybe more than that, because obviously it has a break. It has
That's it, I'm thinking without the break.
The matinee. You will love it.
You will, and that's it. If the West End performance was that good, I can only imagine what Broadway, a refined Broadway, will be like. Because that's it, this is their first ever performance, you know, their stage play. Going on from that, a refined Broadway performance. Oh my God, I wish we could get to New York.
I know, and the thing is, there is so much truth in this production. Like, I literally saw just now, like, with Stranger Things TV on Instagram, obviously, talking about it going to Broadway. Like, they say themselves, Henry's origin story. And that's coming from them, you know.
Exactly, that's it. It absolutely is his origin story.
Yeah.
You do see, right from the start, how it all really comes to be. But it tells you how it happened, but it leaves so much to mystery.
And with all that in play, it does make me think, and only people that have watched it will really know what I'm talking about here, but it does make me wonder if a certain female character is going to appear in season five.
Yeah.
So, I'm just curious about that one.
If
they're following an origin story of why she's a bit of a wasted character as well.
Yeah.
And I don't want any wasted characters.
No.
They've got the time and the... they've got the time. They have got...
The resources
to finish off every storyline, neatly tie them with
a bow. Exactly. Unless they're purposely leaving something open-ended for any spin-offs.
Yeah.
They need to close it. You know, obviously... Terry.
Right.
Biggest one, Terry.
Yeah.
If you leave her open-ended, I will be angry.
And the only thing that scares me is, does that mean that Vecna's going to kill her? You know? Upset Al?
Yeah, I suppose. Could do.
And Becky.
I feel like he's just going to go for anyone who Al
cares
holds
for.
Close.
Imagine that scene now. Like, Mama and Becky. Oh, God.
Stop doing it to yourself.
It's too much. My brain is too much for all of this. But I don't want them to die. Of course I don't at all. I don't want Elle to feel any more pain. But I think we know she's going to either way.
Yeah.
But I just do not want these wasted characters. Ian Callie, I know there's I know there's mixed opinions on Callie. My opinion is mainly positive, to be honest. But come on, you can't waste her either.
No, exactly.
First of all, she could probably help. She might die trying, but don't just put her on the back burner and don't bring her in at all.
Don't just retcon her, because I know she came in before, I guess they decided that all the kids had the same abilities, because they very much do in season four. They're all telekinetic. They're all, I can't remember what the word is for being able to astral project, essentially. Telepathic, I suppose. But either way, they've all got the same abilities, but then there's Callie. Callie's the only one that's different.
But she's not that different, because she can make people see what she wants them to see.
That's exactly what Vecna can do. That is what Vecna's doing, so it all kind of ties in that sense.
Maybe then, Callie's just never tapped into that other element.
Yeah, maybe she couldn't, because obviously the whole point of them training in the lab, and Elle being the one who was having difficulties originally, being made fun of for it, maybe she didn't tap into the telepathy and telekinesis side of things. Maybe that's the one that she had the most ease with.
And the thing is, like, I know they're not genetically like Henry's children, but if you know, like, for instance, our children, you know, their DNA is incredibly similar, but we might find that Harry is really good at basketball, but maybe Emmy isn't, you know?
Yeah.
And they're still very genetically linked, and yet parts of our kind of genetics and DNA that's gone into them might bring up different talents. So it could just be like that. Yes, they've all had Henry's blood, which we've spoiled before, they've all had his blood. It doesn't mean that all of his skill is going to show up in the same way.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So I just think, obviously, Terry, but Callie's also a very important character.
She could be a very important character.
She could be, because I imagine she'd be able to trick Henry.
Yeah.
To be honest, if he doesn't know she's there.
That's it. I think at least to start with, I think she'd possibly be in danger once he realises that she is there.
Yes.
But I do think to begin with, she could help. The thing is she going to have to go through similar to Elle in the sense of she never mentioned Henry. She never mentioned Henry. Has she gone through something similar like Elle, where she has completely forgotten about him out of a trauma response? Like, the fact that she escaped, is that because of him? Is that some... Did he do something, you know?
Does she even know?
Yeah.
Because none of... He was acting as a staff member.
Yeah, he was, labs, that's true.
And she's out by then. So...
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah, because the other kids don't see Henry as having powers.
No, exactly.
I'd kind of forgotten about that. So, yeah, you're right there. So she probably doesn't know.
Exactly.
So that's it. Elle would have to track her down.
Yeah, I think so.
Which she could easily do.
Oh, 100%. She found her in season two. She's only more powerful now, so she'd have an easy time.
And
if anything, she might be able to literally talk to her from across the...
And especially, like, with all this kind of added power of the fact that they're using, like, a radio station. Like, there is multiple pictures, multiple... It's in the behind the scenes. Like, they are using a radio station.
They are.
They are using some big satellites and stuff. So she's got to be able to hone in on that. She's got to help her.
Yeah.
Somehow.
A random bit about Callie potentially tricking Vecna. The thing that it makes me think of is, now this is going to be completely useless to anyone who hasn't watched it, but the last series of Doctor Who. Do you remember, what's her name? The musical one.
Maestro.
One of her lines, you can only trick a god once.
Yeah.
I can very much imagine that coming into play.
Yeah, that's like, what I think.
Yeah, that's it. Callie being able to fool Henry once, like, I don't know, maybe she makes him see the party or Elle in front of him, and then he realises that it's fake and it's Callie doing it, and then after that he's tuned in. He knows just because I'm seeing him there doesn't mean that's really them.
Yeah.
Or he can probably immunise himself to it.
Yeah. God, I'm annoyed because I can't think of her name. But it also, again, it makes me think of in the Avengers, the character from Guardians of the Galaxy, when she's got her hands on Thanos' head and she's temporarily like blocking him. Yeah. And obviously she can only get away with that once. And they almost get the glove off his hand, but then Peter Quill hears that he's grieving. Sorry, this has become a bit of a Marvel podcast as well. I've mentioned it a couple of times now. But I think it is that thing, isn't it? Like you said, you can only trick a god once.
Exactly, and that's it. Once they're onto you, it's...
Yeah, and that
if
is
if it works
used,
a second time,
and
good
that's
luck.
Using these big films because, you know, they're only vulnerable to things they haven't seen before that one time. And then, hopefully, if they do go down that kind of route with Callie, it will save the life of one of the ones we love, you know, like one of the party members or something like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's used at a very pivotal moment.
Yeah.
Not wasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Before he knows that Callie's there.
Exactly, because unless she can... Callie, I'm sorry for this, but unless she can tap into telekinesis or something... Her power's kind of useless against him if he knows what's going on then.
Yeah, because she's not as strong as him.
No, she's not as strong as him. And obviously, she can make people see. I suppose, unless he can basically prevent her from affecting him again.
Yeah.
I suppose she can make him see the party or something in front of him. But potentially, maybe... she can hide them as well.
Yeah.
Say they're in the Upside Down or something, and here come a load of Demodogs. She hid them in a little hideout from the cops as they were walking past them.
Yeah, yeah.
She can do the same, I suppose.
Yeah.
Against the Upside Down beasts. Doesn't have to be Vecna she's using it against.
And to be honest, thinking about it, it doesn't even have to be the Upside Down. Like, she could be using that power for them to be able to get past army officials.
Like, there is a military base in the filming.
Yeah, like to hide Elle, to, you know, not let them see. I just think it would be absolutely foolish not to use her for her powers.
It would
powers.
Be silly. Yes, episode 7 is the most hated, which I hate, but... Yeah, they have to use her.
Yeah.
They can't just throw her away. I don't care how controversial the episode is. It's so important.
They have got to have had plans when they brought her into it.
Exactly. And yes, maybe things have changed over time.
Yeah.
You know.
But knowing that there is another subject out there, come on.
I know, and like I always said, you know, Elle being 11... meant there were at least 10 more before her.
Yeah.
So they had that plan, and now we know, obviously, they went beyond 11.
Yeah.
I can't remember how high. I'm pretty sure there was at least 17.
I'm not sure, but obviously they were murdered.
Yeah, they're all gone. Except for Callie. So...
Exactly.
They've got to use her.
They have to use her. She would be important. And I mean, Elle's going to pull her in and get her to help, I'm not sure, but she's got to. She's got to help.
I feel like Callie is the kind of person who would want to help, though.
And maybe find her purpose.
Yeah, exactly, because she's made her purpose taking out all of the lab.
Yeah.
You know? Knowing that they are gone now.
Yeah.
You know, the Nina Project was destroyed and all of that. Knowing that, I feel like, yeah, this would give her a sense of purpose, having to save the world, essentially.
Yeah.
And protect her sister, who she clearly did feel very fond of in season two. Yeah, I think however Art gets to her, whether it is through the radio or if she manages to communicate with Callie in their heads.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that'd be possible, because when Elle originally finds Callie in season two, Callie senses her in the void. Yeah, she kind of looks at her as if she can see her in a corner of her eye, like Mike describes to Will.
Yeah.
When Elle's watching Mike through their separation through the 353 days, he says he feels like he can see her in the corner of her eye every now and then. Or something like that. It's like she's there, but she actually isn't.
Yeah. I was going to say, definitely not that wording, but...
No, I'm sure it's something similar. I can't remember exactly, but he says something along the lines.
Yeah, yeah.
There, it's as if you see her in the corner of your eye, but then you look and she's not actually there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
He senses that she's there.
Yeah, exactly. And we know, obviously, she is there, just in the void. And that just shows their connection, thank you very much. But, yeah, 100%. If Mike can, then Callie definitely can.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so I think that really rounds up all that kind of conversation, really. About what might be to come and some theories that those chapters alone can spark in us.
Exactly. I can't believe we are 37 minutes in nearly.
But you know what? I'm not freaking out about it, because this is literally a Stranger Things podcast, and all we've talked about is Stranger Things. So.
And Marvel.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know. One day they might be joined.
Maybe.
I mean, there's already... I mean, come on, they are joined. Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Exactly. Marvel Comics.
Marvel. No, Disney. Don't get any ideas. Don't go buying Stranger Things.
And on that note, let's go back to Dig Dug.
I really need to splice in the music.
Yeah, you do. So, where we left off is Bob has arrived at Joyce's house.
And
she very much tries to turn him away at first.
Yeah.
He's there. Ironically, he's brought board games, but it's like, oh, Bob, my friend, you are going to have quite the game to play. Don't you worry.
Oh, you have no idea what you've walked into, buddy.
No. And that's the thing. He almost leaves and Joyce is like, hold on a minute. Yeah.
I'm being stupid. I've got the perfect Bob the Brain right here.
Yeah. Literally, I mean, she did choose one of the best people for the job. And I just love Bob's face when he walks in and he's holding all the games and he's looking around at all the pictures and going, you drew these? And like Will's like silently nodding and they're all staring at Bob, just wanting him to have the answer. Like he's the Holy Grail. They're like, please.
And he turns out to be that Holy Grail.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can just see that processing going on inside Bob's mind. Because, yeah, like you say, he's just stood there looking around, processing for a moment. And you can only imagine what's going through his head.
Yeah.
Like,
and I remember on Beyond Stranger Things, which I wish they'd done for every season.
I really wanted them
obviously
to.
Obviously, they did it for season two, and it's brilliant. Because... you get this thing, like I'm about to say, Sean Astin, obviously, plays Bob, said that Bob can't help himself but play the game. Because at first he's concerned for Will, and obviously we know he pulls Joyce into the other room and he's like, you know, he's not well, this isn't right, and all that. And then he recognises Lover's Lake.
Exactly, in the corner of his eye.
Bam. He's into the game because he just can't help himself. This is the kind of thing that he loves.
He's literally born for this.
Yeah, he is.
Like I say, he sees it in the corner of his eye and he's completely distracted. That's it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Or everything he was talking about before is gone. He's now in.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they've got him. And they've got an incredibly valuable team member now.
Yes, not for long.
But not so much working as a team. We've got poor Dustin calling out code reds all over the place.
I got a code for you. It's called code shut your mouth.
Yeah, that accent was terrible, though.
I know.
So, yeah, little spoiler there. Dustin's calling his code red to Lucas, to Mike, to, well, obviously to Will probably as well, but no one is picking up.
No, because everyone else is too busy. While you're chasing after Dart.
Yeah.
They're all too busy.
Yes, but he's now got a Demodog on his hands.
Well, he should have known that from the first place.
And yeah, the only answer he gets is off Erica, who couldn't care less. I had to pause then to not swear.
Don't know. Don't care.
Yeah. As I say, like, people loved her sass. They really did. And yeah, he's like, oh, Erica, where's Lucas? And she's like, don't know. Don't care. That wasn't an accent, by the way, so you can't take the mic. That was just my normal voice. she does make me laugh, Erica. And I'm glad that she did get a bigger role.
Yeah. Yeah, she was mostly annoying in season 3. But
yeah. Yeah. Obviously, we'll go into it more in season 3, when we talk about season 3. But I preferred her in season 4. And yes. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with her in season 5. Because I've said this before, I think she has got to be the most protected character from Vecna. And yeah. I would love to see some kind of parody with her where Vecna tries to get her and she just, like, lets him have it.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes him feel like an insecure little boy.
Yeah, because that's it. They're obviously going to have told Erica about the whole grandfather clock thing.
Yeah.
Now that they know that's what people see. You can just imagine Erica seeing that and being like, oh, you're talking to me now, are you? Well, here's what
Why don't you just try it? Because blah, 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 blah. Like...
Yeah, exactly. I can 100% imagine that.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to actual Henry in the corner of his house in the Upside Down, just goes over to the corner and has to take a moment to cry.
Mm. Yeah, he's like, no, it's not worth it. She's bullying me. So yeah, Erica is a very good character, very strong character. And going on to another strong character, our lovely Elle. She has, obviously she's in the house at this point. She has seen Mama Becky's, you know, wanting to know if Hop found her, like what happened there. It's very bittersweet because she's staring at Terry and Terry is just not completely there. But we've said this before, she's more there than we remembered though.
Yeah, exactly. Because
she does look at her Jane.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. She does look at Jane for a moment, but and as well as that, yeah, after she stares at Elle for a moment, I feel like the words she's saying, her voice changes, like I don't know if
it like breaks,
yeah, and I don't
she says like rainbow,
yeah, the way she goes back into it is a bit more, it sound, yeah, that's the word I used when we were watching it. It sounds emotional.
Yeah.
So it's like she's there, she's sort of conscious, but in the background.
Yeah.
I said it's like sort of like motor neuron disease where you're conscious, but you just can't control your body. And yeah, I think in the background, well, we know she's there because she's affecting the lights to say, get over here. I need to show you something. And then once Elle is by her side again, you know, the TV changes channels. And it surprises me how many people think that that's Elle changing the channel on the TV.
Yeah.
Because it's very much Terry doing that.
I know, and like Elle almost looks proud in the moment as she's looking at the telly. She's like, she wants to talk.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It very obviously catches Elle, not off guard, but she looks to the TV because she very clearly obviously wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
And then she looks at the TV like, oh, she's changing the channel. She's about to find static. And yeah. then, yeah, once a static channel's found, Elle has her answer. She wants to talk.
Yeah.
And this just shows Terry has to be keeping tabs on Elle. Because how else is she supposed to know that she's using static as a way to help her get into the void? Because she doesn't true. Need that. You know, Terry obviously isn't using that. In the lab, they never use that. So they don't need it. It's just, in the lack of having a full sensory deprivation tank, focusing on the static is a way to empty your mind.
Yeah.
To get into the void. So, and Terry knows that Elle uses that. So she's clearly been keeping tabs on Elle, as any mother would.
Which, again, is bittersweet to me if that's true, because she'll have had to have seen years of abuse that Elle has faced at the lab. And potentially the whole Vecna situation.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You never know how much she's involved. Hey, if she's in the mind, maybe she's got a part to play.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Oh, God, that's true. Vecna might be able to get into her mind as well.
Oh, I was thinking the other direction.
Oh, I just fear for her, but at the same time, she's also got a bit of a fate worse than death because she's stuck in this state. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
And that's it. Another thing about that scene that is really gut-wrenching is when Becky says she's got a home there, and I was like, home? And she shows her what would have been her bedroom, what would have been her nursery.
Yeah.
And oh, it's haunting and it's sad.
It really is, because that is an unused nursery for 13 years.
Yeah.
And it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Because, like you were saying, especially now being a parent, you know what it's like to prepare that nursery.
Yeah, you do.
To get everything for your baby, for your daughter, and then to have her literally ripped out of you and taken straight away.
Oh.
Like,
it's
you can't,
it's the worst.
You cannot for a second blame Terry for doing everything she did.
No.
And I mean, yes, the moment she goes into the lab and shoots a security guard and finds Elle with Callie, that's very clearly quite later on. Like, I don't know exactly how old they are, but
yeah, she looks maybe like 5, doesn't she?
I think that's a general consensus, because obviously in episode 8. No, 7, sorry. You know, they're stood up and talking.
Yeah.
Those two girls that play the younger version. So, very clearly, at least 4, I think.
Yeah. And this is the thing. It's like, if it has been 4 years, 5 years, she has tried everything.
Oh, she's tried, that's it. That's
the
not
law.
The
she's tried the press. Because we know that from the newspapers.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's it. She's tried every avenue she has, but the lab just don't care.
Except for force.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it. She, you know, she's at her wit's end.
Yeah.
She's come to the final option. She's got herself a gun. She's going in. She's getting her daughter.
Yeah.
And yes, unfortunately, it doesn't work. And no. That's what gets her vegetated. But yeah, either way, it's like you say, you'd never stop.
You
if
wouldn't.
If you were in that position, you literally wouldn't stop. And I think that stands true
even once
she's vegetated. In her mind, she's not stopping. She's doing everything she can.
Yeah.
To help her daughter. And
that's why I don't want them to make her a wasted character.
No, that's it. I don't think
they will. She literally paid the ultimate sacrifice for her daughter.
Yeah. And
there's got to be more to this story.
Exactly. And I really doubt they would go this cheesy. But you can just imagine Elle being in a mind fight again with Vecna or something like that. And then she's just overpowered again. And then Terry's there to help.
Yeah.
Like, I really doubt they would go that cheesy. But I can imagine Terry helping in some telepathy sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. In some way, she could know something about him. A weakness. Because they could always use, you know, like when Terry was at the lab, like they could make it out like Terry and the others did see Henry. like, for all we know, like, there could be something she knows that they write into the story that helps Elle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but...
Well, that's... I just don't want it to be wasted. He's definitely in the lab while Terry's there, for sure, because...
He is, yeah.
Obviously, his blood is infused into them as babies.
Yeah.
Or potentially children as well, because, you know, they're kidnapped at all sorts of ages. So Terry's definitely there. I think that's one of the reasons they were so excited about Elle, the lab.
Yeah.
Because I think she was the first baby born by someone who was being experimented on in the first place.
Yeah.
And the first baby they could infuse the blood into, because all the others were just children they kidnapped.
And the thing is, I know, like, in the book, but obviously the book isn't canon.
Well, it's an official story, but they've retconned some things.
Yeah, like, she's given the LSD and stuff, but there's nothing to say she wasn't given, as in Terry, wasn't given Henry's blood.
That's it, yeah. They might have been saying it's LSD, but in secret it's containing his blood because in some way or form.
Brennan knew before even Terry... that she was pregnant.
Yes, indeed.
So he could have been like, well, we infused...
Let's get that blood in there
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we infuse Henry's blood into these children as soon as we catch them. Why don't we start while this baby is like a fetus and developing? Yeah. Which might be why Elle's probably stronger than the others.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, she took some... You know, she took longer to gain her abilities or gain control of them more so. Mm.
But as I think that's more because they were being suppressed.
Yeah.
Because she was... It's like anything in life when you're being told you're not good enough and...
Yeah.
You don't give all of yourself, you know.
Absolutely,
until
yeah. Exactly. Until the moment you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
It could have been... And if that is the case, then yeah, maybe... I was going to say Karen then. Maybe Terry... does have some sort of link to Henry, if she's got some of his power as well. So, yeah, it just makes you think it's exciting, but I really hope they don't waste Terry. And the line that she says to her, I've always wondered about this, when she Elle's in the void and sees Terry and she says, Mama, I'm home.
No.
And Terry looks at her and says no, and then shows everything.
Grabs her hands and just says no, yeah.
I wonder what she means. Like,
I know.
Is that her saying, like, no, you deserve more than to make this home?
That's it. It's one word, but you can take it in so many different ways.
Because if you're right in the sense of her having watched Elle, she'd be like, no, your home is with those friends you've made, with the boy that you're in love with, you know.
Yeah.
That's your home, and your home is with the police officer that I have seen love you as a daughter and who will protect you.
Yeah. I think that, because I don't think Terry would be selfish to keep her cooped up in the house with Becky and her.
Because that's it, Becky and Terry can't protect Elle.
No,
in any shape
exactly.
Or. And I know to an extent Elle can look after herself, but there's been many occasions where she has needed someone else to go through.
The thing is, you just catch her off guard and, yes, you'd be able to break your neck in 2 seconds, but you catch her off guard and, you know, that's all you need is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's it. It can be taken in so many ways. It can be taken in a no, this isn't your home. You need to be with everyone who loves you and can actually protect you. And as well as that, you could also... see it as maybe a fear type of no.
Yeah.
In the sense of, no, get away from me. Because the lab know where I am.
Yes.
They know I came to get you and all of that. If they find out you're here, they'll get you in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And, yeah, as well as that, obviously, she is sort of sending Elle on a mission to get Callie as well. I don't think... she'd be insisting that Callie is her home.
No.
I don't think so. I think... Or maybe it's no in a sense of, no, you've got a mission here.
Yeah.
You need to fix this.
Yeah.
And all of that. So, yeah, it could be taken in any way. For one word.
Yeah, it surprises you, doesn't it, though, that is the word that she says no to her daughter when her daughter's like, I'm home, you know.
Exactly.
But I just think there's so much potential because, like, they could have it where, Terry could be able to, like, see the future or, you know, and is like, no, your home is not here, because she knows how everything, the reason she pushes Callie onto Elle is because she knows that Callie's going to be vital in helping her bring down Vecna. Like, there's so many places that they could go with this.
Exactly.
And I really, really just want them to utilise it.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. They've got to utilise both Callie and Terry. They need to. And if they don't, then... I don't know.
Yeah.
Not happy.
No. No. But just to completely change pace now, I'm going to go back to Murray. So he has... Obviously, last we saw, he has had Nancy, especially Nancy, and Jonathan tell him that his incredible timeline is wrong.
Yeah.
And that the Russian girl is not Russian. She's called Eleven. She's from Hawkins Lab. And now he's just listened to the tape.
Exactly. I love that. The way they walk in and just walk all over his parade of, yeah, I've done everything. I know everything. There's nothing new you can bring to the table.
I know. And it's like he's been slapped in the face because everything he thought he knew is completely wrong.
Yeah, exactly. He's not much of an investigator, really.
No, he's not. But he was right in the watering it down, because he suggests, you know, that this is too big. People aren't going to believe this.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to think it's some sort of hoax. So, you know,
exactly. It's people are weird because they're not going to believe any of that. But then season four, they believe Justin when he's saying the Hellfire Club are causing all these deaths.
I thought you said Justin then. Oh, is it just?
No, it's Jason. Did I say Justin or did I say Jason?
I thought you said Justin, but I'm
maybe
not
I
sure.
Did. Maybe I did, because I'm thinking of Hellfire Club, and obviously Dustin's like the only remaining member now.
Well, but at first I thought you were talking about Dustin, but you were saying Justin. And I was like, wait, hang on a minute. That's
well,
not his name.
It makes me think of Jason and in the school hall to all the parents being like, it's, you know, the Hellfire Club are causing all of this. They're praising Satan and...
Yeah.
Yeah, causing all this witchcraft. It's like, they'll believe that in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But they won't believe a story about Barbara being killed by a lab.
And I don't want to cause any offence here to anyone over any religion. But sometimes, like, you know, when they say at a dinner table, you don't speak about religion or politics.
Yeah.
Because it can cause so much drama. I think people that are very devoutly religious can be gullible.
Yeah.
So
well,
when you've got Jason scaremongering, absolutely. And the thing is, the idea of what was happening at the lab was just so far out there that
there's
the lab
no religion
could have been
involved.
Like, that's absolutely ridiculous, you know, you're just scaremongering people and all this stuff, and people are easily frightened. But like they say, if it's something that's relatively believable, which is a leak from the lab.
Yeah, exactly. Something close to... I'm trying to remember Murray's words. Something close to home.
Yeah.
Something familiar.
Yes, that's it. Then it's not as frightening as, you know, just these demogorgons, just an alternative dimension and demogorgons and, you know, Will actually was this and that, he was in the upside down.
Yeah
it's quite out there.
It is just a bit. You would, if you read that story, you'd definitely think it was a hoax.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, he, despite how silly he can be, that is a moment of genius, and it does make sense. And spoiler, we all know it does work in getting
Indeed.
Some justice.
Indeed it does. And yes, they just move over to Utah.
Yeah.
But it does take down the Prime Lab.
It does. And Unfortunately, people like Brenna don't suffer for that, but...
No.
I'm still not even sure if Brenna's dead. I really hope he is, but...
Oh, we saw him die.
Oh, it's just the way that... I've forgotten the name of the actor. It's the way he always teases us all.
Oh, I know. He's brilliant.
The actor of Brenna, if you go on his Instagram, like... He's always like, where's Dr. Brenner? He'll ask and all this stuff, and people are like, are you really dead or are you not dead? And he'll just like all the comments just to cause absolute chaos.
Exactly. That's it. He'll just like your comment and not say a thing.
Oh, Matthew Modine, like, that's his name.
Why are we so terrible with these names lately?
Let's just say it's tiredness, because that is the truth.
That's the one.
So, obviously, that is all happening. And then... Poor Dustin has still not found his party members. No one has answered him. He's got to the point where he's gone to the Wheeler house. And he has a wonderful interaction with Ted.
Honestly, it's like Father of the Year award goes to Ted. Yeah.
But, I mean, person of the episode has got to go to Dustin in that moment. Because he just lets Ted have it. And he's like, you know, you are so...
You're really no help at all. You're useless.
You're no help at all, he says to him. And it's like Ted doesn't even hear that. All he hears is the swearing that Dustin does because he goes, language. It's like he does not care that he's apparently, you know, no help at all.
Yeah.
Although I'm not going to pretend I don't laugh at the line of Ted's when he goes, our children don't live here anymore. You didn't know that?
That is a brilliant line.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how it was back then.
Yeah.
And I say back then, that is how it is with teenagers. They're always out and hanging out with their friends. You never see them.
No.
Unless it's for food or money.
Yeah.
You never see them.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I love Dustin. I love his kind of, like... confidence to just say what he wants. Because like even when Steve arrives, then like Steve's there to apologize to Nancy, and Justin's just like, oh my god, right, you're gonna have to do, not realizing that he's about to be part of such an amazing relationship with Steve.
I love his hellos for Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler.
Tom's referring to the flowers that Steve has got.
Yeah.
Those were Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler.
Are those were Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler? No. Good.
Yeah.
Nancy's not here.
Yeah. And then he says to him as well, we have more problems than your love life.
Yeah.
Do you still have that bat?
Which again isn't Steve's. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Steve. It's your Nancy's little thief.
And there's Jonathan's nails.
Yeah. Your little thief, Steve. To be fair, he was the best at wielding it, so
he was. He was. So yeah, you've earned the title of Batman.
What we don't realise is we missed a scene where Nancy literally knights him with it, bestows it upon him, and says, "You may keep this bat to keep you safe."
I've always said there's too many missing scenes. Yeah. There's so many things we should see that they just haven't bothered giving us. And yeah, the knighthood of Steve from Nancy is a very key moment that we were missed, that we were
that robbed, we
had
of.
Robbed of. That's it. I was going to say that we had stolen off us.
Yeah. And then, to be honest, there's nowhere really to put this in because it's such a short scene, but I'm just going to talk about it now. We also have Sam... being told to come and look at the soil, and you can tell he's just like,
he's so bored. He's like,
it's
just soil. What's a piece of dirt gonna do?
Yeah. And then it's all swirling with that hive mind that it has.
Exactly. That's it. And it's
a bit weird though that even soil
The way they described it, you know, they didn't find any differences, but they didn't find any differences in its composition, but yet it's able to react like that.
Yeah.
I do find that interesting.
Yeah.
Unless it's not soil and it's part of the Mind Flayer. Maybe the Mind Flayer looks like soil when it's not moving around. I don't know. But either way, yeah, it's the first sort of reveal of the hive mind going on, because... I think already we've seen Hopper realising that the vines don't like heat.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he's already figured that part
out. Yeah, he has, as he's tried to get his way out. Because, yeah, while all this is happening, he is very much entangled by the vines.
Yeah.
It almost makes me think of, like, a quicksand. When Hopper's, like, pushed to the floor because he's just consumed by them, and they're wrapping all around him. It's almost like the more he struggles, the more it happens.
Yeah.
And he, like, you see him almost, like, resound to, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Or
yeah, it's like either that kind of look, or it's like
a, I need to calm down kind of thing.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, you know, once you can't reach that knife, what are you supposed to do?
I know. So that's it. So much is happening at that same time, because that is happening to Hopper. We're learning about this kind of hive mind of the soil and,
exactly,
and what's going on there.
I think they hold a torch up to a piece of vine, don't they, from the tunnel. They've got like a little slice of vine that's still alive. They hold a torch to it and the dirt reacts.
No, they probably have a Bunsen burner.
That's
thing,
right.
They've
got multiple jars of the soil, and they put one of it over a Bunsen burner, and the other jars react.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, again, first sample of hive mind situation.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's the benefit of trying to destroy something like that, is that it does affect it all.
Yes, you know, that's its weakness.
It's getting to the source, and then hopefully, yeah, you can get rid of the whole thing then. But we'll see how that kind of pans out in season 5. But yeah, while that is happening, obviously, there's a hell of a lot of pressure on Bob to narrow down the X as to where Hopper is.
Yeah.
And it did make me laugh thinking that, my God, Bob would have loved something like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't you see him out there with his phone finding all the Pokemon?
Yeah.
They're totally good. He's really pressured to find where Hopper is. You know, Will is making it very insistent that this is important, that they've only got so much time. Obviously, Joyce is as well. And Bob narrows down it to a half mile southeast of Danford.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this is where Will takes over.
Yes.
Because as we're racing there, he's shouting whether to go right or left, or where Hopper is.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary in a way, because that does tell you that if it's the Mind Flayer or Vecna or whatever, they really have zoned in on where Hopper is. And, you know, it was only a matter of time.
Well, that's it. You know, they're obviously surrounding him. And the rest of the High Mind's going to be aware of those vines doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess Will being linked to it all, he's going to be feeling that sense of having to grab hold of this big guy and hold him down. He's going to be feeling Hopper trying to cut his way through and trying to break free.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. So much happens. And obviously, this is like the point where I was saying that I was trying to not get Harry to watch because I didn't want to frighten him. I just want to say, from the last episode, as far as we're aware, Harry didn't have any nightmares because he didn't wake up, he didn't come crying or say anything, so touch wood, he did not have nightmares about any of the episode that he did happen to watch.
And there goes the test. We're now ready for him to watch Stranger Things fully.
No, I'm not ready for him to watch, especially season 4, but not a lot of season 3, I don't think so.
You don't want him to see people melting and becoming a big sludge monster?
I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
I'm going to say he's 2 and say no.
Okay.
So basically, I'm here to protect him and you're here to be like, here, son, watch this.
Here, watch this.
Ruin all my good work.
This show is why you exist. You will sit and you will watch.
Of course him and Emmy will honour Stranger Things one day. Of course they will. There will be a ceremonial honouring of
the
show.
They are going to be Matilda being forced to watch TV by her parents.
Oh my god, no. What, when he like holds her head in place? Thomas. They won't need to. It's too good.
Correct.
They'll be like, yes. Or are we going to push it on them so much that they'll be like, I really don't
exactly.
want
it. They're going to be like, no, I'm never watching it because it's all you ever bloody talk about.
We've got to think about how we play this then. We've really got to have a meeting as they grow up and discuss how we're introducing it.
Yeah, instead of the birds and bees, be like, right, see this show? This is why you exist.
Yeah. What completely is crazy to me, though, just to go off topic quickly, is that when season 4 came out, Harry was a baby.
Yeah.
And when season 5 comes out, he is going to be 3 years old.
Emmy will be one.
And Emmy, our newborn, will be one. That is insane.
It's silly.
It's very, very silly.
And it's just silly.
But it is silly, but it isn't. As long as it is like a load of movies, like Mayor's said, and it's absolutely epic, and
it
the CGI and everything is unbelievable, and the production's unbelievable, then fine. I can accept having waited.
Like we say, it's a finale. It has to be this epic finale.
Yeah.
With no stone left unturned, no expense spared.
No season 8 of Game of Thrones, please.
It's
got to be the best thing.
It absolutely
ever.
Has to be. That's it. It really, really needs to be because, yes, you've said there's a possibility of spin-offs, but you can't rely on those.
No.
This has to really be the finish all.
And the thing is, this will make or break the spin-offs because they're not going to kill Elle. It's not happening. I'm not putting that into the universe.
But they've already said there's not going to be more Elle in the spin-offs. They've already said this is the end of her story.
Which is a bit scary. But if they were to kill off Elle or even Mike, I would have a big issue with watching the spin-off.
You'd want to boycott them for doing that.
Yeah, literally. So they've got a lot of power in their hands here, and I hope they use it for good.
If you're listening, Suffer Brothers, if anything bad happens to anyone, Netflix accounts cancelled across the entire world.
I love how you said to anyone, because I'm pretty sure, for it being the last season, there's going to be deaths.
Well, I mean anyone important.
Yeah, fair enough. But do you know what? We're saying about important people. Segueing back in here to our final scene. Will is playing a very vital role here. He is helping them to find Hopper. They get to that pumpkin patch, and Joyce is down that tunnel with Bob, who is like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And he's like, Hopper's down here? What do you mean? He's freaking out. He's gone from thinking this is just a very interactive game to what on earth is going on?
This is some crazy level D&D.
And he's probably thinking to himself, does the chief of police really have time to play these interactive games, these role-playing games?
Yeah, I mean, he's never at the office, so
yeah, that's a good point. So obviously they find Hopper, and they're not alone in rescuing him. To be fair, Sam has acted quickly.
That's it, yeah. So they obviously find him first, and then as they're about to leave, behind them are their hazmat guys ready to burn the place.
Yeah, they are there quickly. They're ready to try and get rid of it. Without realising, though, that as they shoot the fire,
they are burning Will.
They are
from
burning
the inside.
Will, who is having an atrocious time at the top. And, yeah, oh my god, the look on Will/Noah's face.
I always said this
blood-curdling scream is like, ooh!
Yeah, this moment kind of shows Noah's acting talent in season 2.
Yeah.
Because that scream, you can genuinely imagine the pain he's going through as he basically feels like he's being burned alive from the inside.
Yeah, and the look on his face as well. But it's also is quite a scary moment because it's like it's just evidence that he's being possessed.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not making, this sounds weird, but he's not making a human noise to being burnt.
Yeah.
It's quite...
You know, I've never thought of that.
It's quite creaturey.
Yeah, I've never thought about that. Obviously, his scream is, like, edited, like, in post. But, yeah, I suppose you could imagine that as the mind flayer screaming as well from the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never thought of that. That's a very good point.
Yeah, because it's not like her... Like I say, it's not like a human scream.
No, it's not.
It's so much more than that.
Yeah, that's it. It starts off as Will basically having a fit and, you know, it's just his voice.
Yeah.
But then when he rolls onto his back and it starts to zoom out into the sky, that scream there, you've got Will screaming, but there is something else as well. Yeah, I've never actually thought about that. That's a very good point.
And that's the beauty of rewatching, isn't it?
It because really is.
It does bring all of these thoughts to the front of your mind, especially when you're trying to scrutinise every scene.
Yeah. Like, that's it. It's, like we say, obviously it's a binge-watch show.
Yeah.
But when you're binge-watching it, you get the overall picture.
Yeah.
But you don't get to nitpick at every little scene.
No, you don't.
Because you're not sat there watching one episode at a time, writing notes on it, or potentially pausing after scenes to discuss them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I do love a good rewatch.
I do. And I've been getting quite excited to watch the next day, to watch season three, because we've been pretty mean to it for a while.
I'll always be mean to it, but I do have good memories from it as well.
So I'm really looking to scrutinising every scene and finding actually that I am sure that I actually enjoyed probably 90% of it.
Oh, I did. There's just so much they did wrong, whether in the show or building up to it. Like we say, the amount of clips they released, they pretty much...
I think we went into it with a bad taste in our mouth, didn't we?
Yeah, because it was all spoiled and all of that.
Because there was a physical, literal scenes that had been published and that were on TV shows. And
yeah, exactly.
Scenes that I would have much preferred to have seen in the season with like the highest quality video and sound rather than seeing them on Instagram. And even like merchandise came out which gave huge spoilers, not even indications, big spoilers as to what had happened. And it was too much.
It was pathetic. Yeah. There's no word to describe it other than just pathetic.
Yeah. But that's it. That is our rewatch of Dig Dug completed.
Indeed.
It may have took us two parts. We may have only spoken about it in this one for, God, I don't know, like maybe only half an hour?
40-ish, I think.
But this is the thing, there is a lot more content coming out at the moment regarding season 5 and we can't not talk about
exactly, it. Exactly, that's it. We can't just focus on the rewatch and then leave all the news until after season 5's aired.
Yeah.
That's just silly. We need to talk about it. We need to have a news segment. We still need a jingle.
Yeah, we do need a jingle.
Yeah, that's just how it is. That's a podcast. If you listen to any podcast, they do that.
Yeah.
They may section things better than us. They may sound more professional and structured. Yeah. But that's what I love about us. No structure, no pattern.
No structure just whatsoever.
No rails. We're a mess.
We are a mess. And we hope you accept us as a mess because we can't be any other way.
You love us.
So, thank you very, very much, if you're still with us, for listening to our part 2 of Dig Dug.
Thank you for putting up with us for so long.
Well,
you poor souls.
We'll see you next week for chapter 6, The Spy.
Indeed. Super Spy, as Mike says.
Super Spy. Until then, bye-bye.
Spy you later.